I watched John and Annie restore an old farmhouse in Vermont. Both the old woman who had owned the house previously and the house had fallen into neglect. So they knew when they bought it that the house had issues. The first task was excavation, because the house was full of broken things. Old newspapers, old paper grocery bags, cans, and junk. The barn that was attached to the kitchen porch, New England style, was filled with rusting, broken equipment. So first came out all of the old stuff. And then all of the parts of the house that were beyond repair had to be removed. The plumbing, the electrical system, most of the flooring, the walls, some of the siding. It was a weekend project for John and Annie for many years. They'd arrive Friday night, work on the house Saturday and Sunday, drive back to Boston on Sunday evening, go to work, and do the same thing over again the next weekend. I visited usually once a year, often on the 4th of July, when Vermont is absolutely beautiful. And the view out the kitchen window was stunning. In July, there is a riot of wildflowers and bees and butterflies and the green mountains in the distance. But after 30 years, the house looked essentially unchanged, except that there was very little remaining of the original materials. The rock wall foundation had been repaired. The old clawfoot bathtub remained, though it had been reglazed. The wavy glass in the windows was still there, but not much of the original window frames. Some of the beams that held up the house were still there, and a little bit of the siding, the clapboard on the outside, and everything else had been restored. Now, John would admit to you over a cup of coffee at the kitchen table that it would have been easier and less expensive to knock the whole thing down and build a whole new house. But there was something about restoring that old farmhouse that called out to John. And that's where we find ourselves in Psalm 80. As the psalmist cries out to God on our behalf, "Restore us, O God." The psalmist is aware of our sinfulness and our need for God. "Save us," he cries. "Don't be angry with us." Whether it is a house or a human heart, renovation is a process. It's a process that begins with excavation, taking out everything that is broken or rotten that cannot be restored, the cleaning of what remains, and then the renewing and the rebuilding. And that's what happens with our hearts. Jesus is the one that can come into our hearts, dismantle the walls and the defenses that we build there, take from us guilt and shame and brokenness and insecurity and failure and bitterness and resentment. Save us. Clean our hearts. Restore us. Rebuild us for God's holy purposes. Some of you know we had quite a bit of water damage in 5 different buildings from Hurricane Irma, but it wasn't all Hurricane Irma. The rain just came down really fast, and the sidewalks and the roofs and the walls just couldn't drain fast enough. But what happened was that water exposed some of the issues we already had, and it wasn't until our property staff and our United Methodist men and service master and Stonebridge Construction started pulling things out that we realized the extent of the damage that had already been there, rotten wood and termite-eating stuff. And it took getting into it and pulling it all out before we knew how extensive it was and before rebuilding could commence. And that's the process of love that God works in us, of acceptance and grace and forgiveness and cleaning and rebuilding of our hearts. And that's what Advent is all about. I love the little phrase in verse 5. We have been fed the bread of tears. We have drunk from a cup of tears in full measure. Why do our human hearts cry? Well, there are times when we cry happy tears at a baptism, at a wedding, at a moment of love. Sometimes when we're moved, we cry, and those are happy tears. But a lot of the times, the tears we cry are frustration and loss and grief. And God is the one that comes alongside of us to restore, and to our grief and loss to add tenderness and purpose and to help us to move forward. When I served as a pastor in Fort Lauderdale, our church began a ministry to homeless families. And on the board of directors of that ministry, it was separately incorporated, there was a man from another church, a man of deep faith named Bob. And Bob's son was a high school football player. Bob was present on the sidelines at a game where his son and a player from another high school collided, and the player from the other school was paralyzed. And Bob went through months and months of grief and agony. His son was fine, but he watched the collision happen, and he so grieved for the young man whose life was forever changed. And he felt a huge burden of guilt and responsibility, since it was his son, who was fine, who was part of that collision. And the turning point for Bob came when he was able to put down his guilt and his grief and to pick up a new sense of purpose. And he discovered that he needed to do something for the lives of young people affected by spinal cord injury. He needed to use his skills and some of his financial resources to make their lives as good as they could be. And so the young man who was paralyzed spent more than a year in the hospital and rehabilitation. But at the close of that time, he finished high school. The paralyzed young man went to college, and Bob visited him every week and wanted to make sure that issues like transportation were met for him, and helped him get that first job upon graduation from college. See, God gives us a new purpose. Sometimes there are things that happen that can never be restored the same way. But God renovates hearts and puts us on a path for purpose and love and goodness in this world. And that's what happens at Christmas. We trade in the bread of tears at this communion table, and we are given the bread of life in exchange. So when you come forward to receive communion, you know we always come with our hands cupped to receive, because the grace of God is not something we grab. The grace of God is always a gift. It is always given to us. And the person who serves you the bread will tear and break the bread to give you a piece, to remind us that Jesus' body is torn and broken so that we can have life. So when you come forward today, put down the bread of bitterness, of longing, of resentment, of grief, and pick up the bread of life. Allow Jesus to break down the walls in your heart and to make you brand new, because this is a season of light and hope and purpose. And so we pray, come, Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Oh God, in these moments as we approach your table, make us aware of your goodness and our need, and give us the courage to whisper to you those things which we need to leave behind, for which we need your cleansing, your forgiveness, and your help. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.